ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Neglected and worshipped. So he wanted to impress the people of the world by withdrawing the reins in Ajana Bhavasha. And then Lord Vishwa smiled a little and pulled down the reins. And that shows his potency as a God. That shows that he is not ordinary child, divine child, Janma Karma Chamayi Divyam. He can summon the reins to come at his will. So everything in nature, you know, all the natural phenomena is at his beck and call. That's one thing we learned in that chapter. And yeah, after that, another thing highlight we saw was when Rishabhadev grew up, he was exemplary in every way. Like he went to the Gurukula and gave him Guru Dakshina. Although, as God is omniscient, he doesn't have to, you know, go to Gurukula. Just like Lord Rama or Lord Krishna goes to Gurukula to teach the world the importance of submitting to a Guru and learning from a Guru. Like the Guru, you know this famous verse, Tadbiddhi. So pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Three words are very important in that verse. Pranipat means our humble demeanor which impels the Guru to show us the way. Actually, Guru will not show the way to anybody. He will only show the way when we do pranipat. Arjuna was shown the way when he showed pranipat to Krishna. Correct, no? Sanatana Goswami did pranipat to Lord Chaitanya. Then, that means our attitude that makes Guru become pleased to show us the way. And pariprashnena is actually required for to see the way. And sevaya is required to walk the way. To show the way, see the way, walk the way. All three are very important. Pranipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya. Because when a disciple inquires, then the path becomes clear. There is clarity of understanding of the truth when we to do jignasa, when we ask inquiring. And when we do sevaya, then one can begin walking the wisdom that we attained. Otherwise, actually, seva is actually a practical expression of, you know, understanding of the knowledge. That is sevaya. So, like for example, somebody hears lectures of Prabhupada, they read Prabhupada books, now they are spirited and very inspired. What they do? They dedicate their life to Prabhupada and they render service to Prabhupada. So, the translation of our inspiration is dedicated practical service. That therefore, walk the way. So, in this way, we saw that Rishabhadev went to Gurukul to teach an example to the world. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example was said, Apani Acharya Kori Sabare Sikai, he said. He's teaching everybody by his example. Then another thing is, Rishabhadev, as he came out of the Gurukul, he was married to Jayanti, who was given to him by Indra. And then after marrying Jayanti, he begot 100 children. One highlight point there is, these 100 children were all of different Varna Ashrama. The first 10 of them, you know, they were actually Kshatriyas. The topmost of them was Bharat. Earlier, our country was called Ajana Bhavarsha. Later on, it came to be called as Bharat Varsha. He was a very good son, and the first son. Then the other 9 also became Kshatriyas. They were all given different places to rule. And then the next 9 became Paramahamsa Mahabhagavats, Navayogendras. They travel all over the world and preached the message of Bhagavata. They were all pure devotees. And the next 81 were Karmakand Brahmanas. They were also... So in this way, Prabhupada says, the caste system was not based on birth. It's based on quality and activity. That's one highlight point there. After that, it is mentioned that how Rishabhadev actually raised his sons by teaching them, training them. And all the Rishabhadev's qualities were discussed. So we have reached up to that. Now we are going to the fifth chapter. If you see your Subodhanikayat page number 47, go to page number 47. So the first section is importance of human life. Then second, the 1, 2, 3 is importance of human life. And then 4 to 6, ending the transmigration cycle. And then 7 to 9, that means three verses, cutting through the knot of illusion. And then 10 to 14, and then liberation. And then 15 to 18, responsibilities of a leader. 19, 20, the Lord and His devotee in one family. Respecting all living entities and engaging in bhakti. And then is Avadhutavesh. With that it ends this chapter. So it's a little big chapter. 35 shlokas. And very vital lessons also. So let us see how many themes we have. Can be brought there. So this is the fifth chapter. How many themes, let us say? How many? Yeah, 17 are there. Okay, let us see how it goes. So some 3-4 years ago I made one notes on this chapter. I'll just show you the Rishabhadev's teachings to his sons. So I made importance of human life. And then conditions of transmigration, bhakti mishra jnana, jnana mishra bhakti, like that it's made, teacher of bhakti. So now we have Subodhini guide, we don't need this. We can refer to that. So let us. So the teachings go till from which verse to which verse? From verse 1 to 25? 27. Oh, that means major part of this chapter is teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons. That means 1 to 27. And then after 28 onwards is Avadhutavesh. That means teachings are over. Now he has left the sons with the teachings and he has gone to take Avadhutavesh and he proceeded further. And he sets an example for the naked sannyasis. Earlier it was said. Renunciation. He took renunciation and he went off after teaching his 100 sons. That means mainly this chapter consists of teachings of Rishabhadev, many important teachings. Actually, I will not go in too much detail because if we start giving one-on-one class on one-on-one verse, our four-day Vidyapitam will get over. So, we will say a little and then we will proceed. See here, I'll request you to keep the Subodhini guide with you, side by side. Read the first point, importance of human life. There's a note given there.
Note.
See, in Brahmavarta, there is a place where Rishabhadev started to instruct his attentive sons. Yeah, note.
In order to establish bhakti yoga, Lord Rishabhadev first says that material enjoyment should not be practiced as the goal of life for a person with a human body.
Yeah. Actually, material needs definitely have to be fulfilled. And nobody in this world can, you know, live without eating or sleeping. Maybe Paramahamsas may live with, Nidra, Hara, Vihara, Kadi, Vijitav. They can conquer sleep and eating. But 99.99% of the population is not Paramahamsas. They are common people. So, Vedas are not against sense gratification. Vedas say that the senses should be gratified in such a manner that the end goal of life is not forgotten. The ultimate goal of human life should not be forgotten. That means how much we can gratify our senses. Therefore, labho jivete yavata, it says. Actually, the senses should be gratified in such a way that the senses will become calm, cool and pacified and satisfied. And then they will let you focus on the ultimate goal of life. For example, right now you all finished your prasad at 8 o'clock, 8 to 8.30. Of course, some of you eat at 10 o'clock. But those are eating. Once that hunger is pacified, then your body has energy. You can think of higher duties. But we should not eat in such a way that our tongue gets agitated. And wanting to eat all day. There are people who keep crunching something all day. Some potato chips, then drink some Pepsi, you know, then eat some pizza, you know, some Sonpapdi came from Vrindavan. Keep eating one after another. This body is not meant for eating one after another continuously. But the cow's body, bull's body can eat all day, you know that? Human body is not fit for that. If we eat like that, we will get into trouble. We have to eat only in a regulated way, two times, three times a day like that. So, because human body is meant for a higher purpose. Purpose is animal body is for sense gratification, human body is for sense control. You heard this purpose say in many places? Animal body is for sense gratification, human body is meant for sense control. So, sense control doesn't mean you cannot eat. You can eat to keep the body fit. And then you can eat to get energy. You can eat to keep the body fit means by not eating also a yogi will fail in his achievement of ultimate goal. Krishna says that. Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnataha, he says. So by not sleeping, like one boy studied for the IIT JEE, whole night he studied. Next day when he went to exam, his hand was shaking in the exam. He could not write. He slept on the table only. Is it good? So by not sleeping, by not eating, you know, we suffer also. And by overeating and oversleeping, then also we get poor performance. Both are bad. Generally in this world, I think we have to correct people for which one, not eating or too much eating? Too much eating, yeah. Not eating, very rarely we find somebody not eating. One in a million, very rare. Therefore, more we have to tell about not overeating and oversleeping. Because overeating, oversleeping makes us lose focus and concentration in spiritual life, the ultimate goal of life. So the living entities who come here, they get distracted by this overeating, oversleeping, over-recreation habits. And they forget the ultimate goal of life. Therefore, the warning is given in the scriptures that human life is not actually meant for sense gratification. That's the very first thing he says. That material enjoyment should not be practiced as the goal of life for a person with a human body. This is not actually the goal. Kamasya naendriya priti. Actually, jivasya tatva jignyasa. Human body is actually meant for attaining the spiritual world. So this should be remembered. So the shastras say, what to speak of eating and sleeping. Even sex life is permitted in a particular ashram, like grihastha ashram. But it should not come in the way of attaining the ultimate goal. Again, that is the point. The intelligence is to keep track of the goal and do the other activities as a side activity only. Eating and sleeping should be. Therefore, brahmacharis will easily realize this. Keeping the ultimate goal of mind, if you have to keep it, then our eating, sleeping and all have to be simplified. We have to simplify. It should be very basic minimum, rock bottom minimum, whatever is needed. There are people, I see sannyasis and all, evening they just eat very little, what do you call it, this? Some anjeer or some dry fruits, especially in the night. They don't load their belly with a lot of food in the night. Why? Because they want to do good sadhana next day morning. Correct, no? So let's go into the verse, first verse. Rishabhava vacham nayam deho deha bhajam loke. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbujhamye tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam shudyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam. See, it says, na I am dehe. I am means this, not in this particular human body. Dehabhajam, that means Dehabhajam, Dehadari Jeev. Those who have become Dehadharis. So we all are bhautik dehadaris. You accepted a material body and drill, okay, in this world, material world. One is not expected that kashtan kaman arhate vidubhujambye is telling. One should not lead a troublesome life for attaining sense gratification. A human being doesn't deserve to struggle hard for such sense gratification. Vidubhujamya means the stool eaters. Sometimes we find the dogs are fighting for one common she-dog. Or sometimes the pigs are fighting for one stool, one place. There is only one man has passed stool and 10 pigs want to attack one another for that. They are fighting for the food or they are fighting for the mate. Isn't it? So, in this way there is a competition amongst animals or birds, sometimes for a common prey. This is also mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how sometimes the herons or the cranes, they attack one another to get their food. Actually, nowadays there are video clips also available, you must have seen. One bird gets the worm and brings it and sits in a wire kind of thing. And two birds sit next to him. And how many of you have seen it? You have seen it? Yeah, is it? What he is doing, he's not allowing him to eat it. He's pecking him. And then the thing falls down, then he goes and picks. So the animals and birds, they have a big competition for getting the eating. And the same thing man does when he is doing business. In the market, everybody wants to capture the market. They criticize the other mobiles and other products of other companies so that, you know, people will buy their product. Correct, no? Because this is actually pranamaya kosh. Pranamaya means competition. Cutthroat competition to impress the people and make them my clients. Correct, no? Same thing. Whatever animals are doing, humans are also doing. Actually, when will you have to get into competition? When you are not satisfied with simple living, high thinking. Then you have to get into competition. Even in brahmachari life, you will see, if you are happy with a simple prasad, there is no complaint. But sometimes one actually wants very opulent prasad, or one wants to do something to draw the attention of others, then there is competition. Otherwise, for leading simple living, high thinking, there is no competition. In villages, many doors are open, house doors. Because even if a thief comes in, there is nothing much to steal. Isn't it? Even if there is a broken down, vessel or something, thief will wonder, what will I do with this? Therefore, they keep their doors open. And nothing to hide much. Simple living, high thinking, there is no competition in this world. Therefore, it is said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but not for one man's greed. When one wants to become a big man, very ambitious, to accumulate more money, accumulate more things, more goods, and become like a god amongst humans, then there is a competition, a great competition in the city. And that competition is like unending competition, what we call as rat race, we call it. So he is telling, for gratifying the senses, one should not work hard. Working hard is not condemned. We can work hard for Krishna, but not for accumulating things for sense gratification. Like that he is telling. in Bombay, when I was in 94, one group of 3-4 boys used to come. So one of the boys was actually coming from a decent family, having his own business. Monthly he was saving something like 30,000-40,000 he was saving, And he got married. So when he married, by that time, he had saved about something like 40-45 lakhs or something like that. He had saved, Then his wife came and said, see, you have saved 45 lakhs and you are drawing monthly. Now she said, you stop going to temple and up to the point when you make it 1 crore. That means how much more you have to save? 55 lakh more. Now calculate it. Monthly 40,000 he saves. Yearly how much he will save? About 5 lakh. So how many years it will take for him to go to temple? 11 years. So that means 11 years you cannot go to temple. Maybe in case later he starts making more money, then maybe 8-10 years. Correct. So I used to call him, hey, when are you coming? Prabhuji, another 10 years are there. She will not allow me. She told me that I have to touch 1 crore. she says that you have to become Kraurpati. After that, you can do your Krishna consciousness lifelong, no problem. She told him. She was the queen of the house. So he had to salute her and walk. So then after a few years, after just about 4 or 5 years only, he called up and said, Prabhuji, I have already touched 1 crore. He said, now, so now is she allowing you? And she said that, see, to be a Kraurpati, 1 crore is not enough. She told him. Because generally, just because somebody has 1 lakh, do you call him lakhpati? If somebody should have like 30, 40 lakhs, then only you call him lakhpati. And similarly, she also told him that, 1 crore is not enough. At least 5 to 10 crores you should make. Now she has sent him to America now. He has gone abroad to make more money now. So this is actually an example of kashtan, kaman, arhate, vidubhujambe. Correct, no? That means working very hard to accumulate money and keep watching. How is my money bank balance going up? How is it going up? You keep on watching, one day you will die. And the bank. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, either you leave the money or money leaves you. Just like the honeybees keep collecting honey, more and more honey. One day it is, the honey leaves them because the honey is taken away by some farmer with a fire torch. He takes it away. So either we leave the money or money leaves us, Bhagavatam says. So therefore, Bhagavatam condemns accumulation of money too much. Even in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, you should collect money and spend money. Collect a lot, he said. Spend a lot also. But don't accumulate a lot, because once you accumulate a lot, then you'll become lazy. You will think that now I have money, I can eat and sleep now. At least for my lifetime, there is enough. One will think like that. Therefore, Prabhupada also said, the government will become attentive if you have too much money in your bank balance. Even all of you, in your own department, you try, if you have little extra money, others will watch you. Itna, okay. How did this fellow get so much? And they will ask you, do you have use for all this money? Use nahi to kyon rakha hai? Correct, na? In case you keep idling something, not using it, others' eye will fall on it. Therefore, collect a lot and spend a lot. Regularly use it. Prabhupada said that. In Germany, Prabhupada said, don't collect and accumulate. They didn't hear. They went on collecting. One day the government people came, police people came and attacked the ashram, took all the devotees, put them behind the bars and stole all the money. Deutschmark, they call it. Currency, this is German currency. They took away everything. So Prabhupada later on told them, I told you, don't stock too much money because non-devotees will become envious. He said, so collect and spend, he said. So, and also advantage in collecting and spending is what? It's always better to remain a fakir always. Collect and spend for Krishna's service. So we will be our focus will not be lost. Focus in Krishna consciousness. So one is the money, another one is sense gratification, which means sex life, attraction for the opposite sex. In this world, the whole world is revolving due to the attachment to the opposite sex. Everybody, whether it is bird society or animal society or human society or demigod society. Even in demigod society, this is the same business all over the world. And if one accepts a wife and begets some children and peacefully continues spiritual life, then it is possible to go back to Godhead. But if one makes sense gratification the goal of family life, then he cannot live in peace. He becomes a godas. And you will see such a person's material life will expand, spiritual life will shrink. I have seen many examples for this. People at one time who were living in a small house, they eventually went abroad, made a lot of money, went for a bigger house, big car, big business, big money. Material life was becoming plumpy and plumpy, fatter and fatter. But spiritual life completely dried up. They lost all spiritual symptoms. Where is the tilak gone? Where is Kantimala gone? The Hare Krishna hairstyle became a very long, big hair, different styles of hair and French beard and mustache and everything. People completely changed. I have seen devotees, I'm telling. I'm not saying about non-devotees. If devotees also become overly materialistic, as we say. The materialistic lifestyle, it evaporates our interest in loving devotional service to Krishna. When one becomes very materialistic, it's like increasing fever. So maybe they may be proud that you know, we went abroad and brought a lot of money and we have a big house, big car, we are living very lavishly, we are eating very nicely. Yeah, right now we are living like demigods. Okay, so what is your conclusion? At the end of the day you are going to die. What have you accumulated for taking with you after death? Nothing, big zero. Therefore, nowadays also, even after becoming devotees, some people consider material success to be more important than spiritual success. Actually, Prabhupada's father, even before, you know, Abhay's hands could reach the two ends of mridanga, at that time, Prabhupada's father gave him a mridanga. Although Prabhupada's mother wanted to send him to London for barrister and all that, father said, no, he will get spoiled if he goes to such places. I want to make him a devotee of Radha Krishna. Like that, his father's ambition for the son was spiritual. And mother's ambition was material. In some homes, the opposite is true. Mother has a spiritual ambition, father has a material ambition. It's very rare in a family, mother and father both want to raise a child in a Krishna conscious way. Very rare. And because Prabhupada had such a father, he was raised in a very wonderful way. And now you can see he delivered the whole world there practically. So the materialistic approach to life and spiritualistic approach are very distinct, like oil and water. This doesn't require much explanation. So one purport of Prabhupada I am going to show you, which you can see for yourself. Prabhupada makes it so simple to understand this. This is in the 7th canto, the 14th chapter, I think. Ideal family life, Prabhupada says.
The human form of life is meant for liberation. But unfortunately, due to the influence of Kali Yuga, every day the grihasthas are working hard like asses. Early in the morning, they rise and travel even 100 miles away to earn bread. Especially in the western countries, I have seen that people awaken at 5 o'clock to go to offices and factories to earn their livelihood. People in Calcutta and Bombay also do this every day. People in Calcutta, Bombay and Pune also do this every day. They work very hard in the office or factory and again they spend 3 or 4 hours in transportation returning home. Then they retire at 10 o'clock and again rise early in the morning to go to their offices and factories. This kind of hard labor is described in the Shastras as the life of pigs and stool eaters. Nayam deho deha bhajam viloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye. Of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One must find some time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at the most to earn his livelihood. And either in the afternoon or in the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnations of Krishna and his activities and thus be gradually liberated from the clutches of Maya.
Yeah, so how are these things applicable to brahmacharis? See, brahmacharis have 8-8-8 formula. 8 hours for the body, 8 hours for the soul, 8 hours for missionary activities. So, 8 hours for the body, we know, 6 hours sleep and 2 hours for bathing, shaving, washing clothes and all that. And the other 8 hours for the soul, morning program is how much? 4:30 to 9:30. How much it is? How many? 5 hours. So apart from that, we need 3 more hours of spiritual intake every day. If you check, many brahmacharis don't do that. 3 hours of hearing, chanting. I heard that some senior devotees every day hear a couple of hours. It's a very good habit. Actually, 3 hours, there should be spiritual intake. And the other 8 hours is missionary activities. Missionary activities include counseling people on phone, cultivating people, you know, reaching to the preaching center, and meeting people, giving classes and all that. But I find that sometimes devotees spend on that more than 8 hours. Sometimes counseling, caring, that cuts their spiritual input. So they do their morning program. Sometimes they cut the morning program also. Sometimes they leave at 7:30 only, they have to leave. Which means out of 8 hours of spiritual intake in a day, they may only have 3.5-4 hours. And 4 hours of this plus 8 hours, so that means outreach activities become too much. Like right now for me, this activity is also outreach for me. Correct, na? Because I am reaching out to others. So we have to, how much, actually if a brahmachari is taking in 3 hours of input, which means brahmachari class, 1.5 hours, and every day you don't have it. Another 1.5 hours self-study. Why we have to do? Because unless we do, what will we give others? So there has to be quality input to ourselves. If it is not every day, at least in a month we can check. Once in a month, you know, that means, you know, apart from the morning program, 3 hours per day, monthly comes to how much? 90 hours of intake we should have. Say this Vidyapitam class is like Brahmachari class, 24 hours, for example. So 90 minus 24, balance you have to check. Are you taking in so many hours? Then only the 8 hours of spiritual thing is taken care. And 8 hours of missionary. Counseling, there is no end to counseling. Lifelong you can give counseling on phone, personally. There are enough problems in this world. You know. So therefore, we have to set a limit. Take out time for our survival also. First we survive, then we give to others also. Correct, no? So read further. However,
instead of finding time to hear about Krishna, the householders, after working hard in offices and factories, find time to go to a restaurant or a club where instead of hearing about Krishna and his activities, they are very much pleased to hear about the political activities of demons and non-devotees and to enjoy sex, wine, women and meat, and in this way waste their time. Yeah. This is not grihastha life, but demoniac life. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, with its centers all over the world, gives such fallen and condemned persons an opportunity to hear about Krishna. In a dream, we form a society of friendship and love, and when we awaken, we see that it has ceased to exist. Similarly, one's gross society, family and love are also a dream, and this dream will be over as soon as one dies. Therefore, whether one is dreaming in a subtle way or a gross way, these dreams are all false and temporary. One's real business is to understand that one is soul, aham brahmasmi, and that his activity should therefore be different. Then one can be happy.
Very plain truth, Prabhupada is saying. Very simple. In this world, a man doesn't know a woman at all. And then when he is introduced to a woman and he marries, in a few years they can develop a very deep attachment to one another, within a very few years. And initially they didn't even know the name of each other. Now they are so attached they cannot be separated from each other. That's the way this material world is. And then they form dreams of a home when the children come, and then the studies of children and raising the children and making the home a happy home. The materialistic approach to life becomes very common in this world. Because people become family-centered, spouse-centered, children-centered, job-centered, profession-centered, except Krishna-centered. And the altar becomes very small and ignored. Even if one is a grihastha, they get a deity also in their home. Sometimes in some homes, the altar is never opened at all. And poor Lord is inside, not getting his daily food. And the Lord is not worshipped. The Lord is not glorified. The Lord is not offered festivals to be celebrated. Somehow the deity has come. Sometimes they delegate it to the small children, and children may not do also sometimes. So the whole idea is becoming materialistic. When people become materialistic and money-minded, the altar will be catching cobwebs. The puja room, you will see that. When puja room is the center, you know, Lord is the center of the house, then even though they may not be materialistic and working hard, the life will go on. You know, Lord will send whatever is minimum needed, life will go on. And there are people who are able to make two ends meet. Last year when I went for this Bhagavatam distribution, one house, small, it's a 300 square feet house, or less than that, probably 250 square feet house. You know, one man with his three children, all wearing tilak and dhoti kurta, you know, and Mataji wearing sari, they were all standing outside the house and received me for giving Bhagavatam set when I went. When I went inside the house, I saw the house was so small. There was kitchen in one side, and it's a very small house. There only they held the program. The house got packed with devotees inside and outside everywhere. The most interesting thing for me is they were all in big smiles, ecstatic devotees. The small house didn't matter for them. The small house or a small earning did not matter. So, in this way, that person along with his wife and children will go back to Godhead. Because now he said, till now I was reading Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita, now I am going to start Bhagavatam along with wife and family members, he was telling. So, in this way you will find, one may be not economically so advanced, but he is happy. On the other hand, somebody is materialistic and makes a lot of money, but even after a lot of money comes, that fellow I told you, from Alakpati, his wife wants him to become Krorpati. But the Krorpati is unhappy. You can see that. So he's unhappy materially and spiritually there is no scope to be happy. Because he has no time to do spiritual life. Where is the scope? Is it? So therefore Prabhupada is condemning sense gratification in this. And he's telling this friendship, society, love, this will all evaporate. So therefore those who are devotees, see, we have to live our life in two platforms. One platform is spiritual platform, where we have to worry about our personal deliverance as well as deliverance of those put in our custody. That is from a spiritual outlook. From a worldly point of view, one cannot run away from responsibilities to mother, father, wife, children, family, because prarabdha karma has brought a man to that situation. So he has to perform his duties to them. And while performing duties to them, he should do it in such a way that he can elevate them in spiritual life also. So Prabhupada used to talk about this horizontal duty and vertical duty. Horizontal is a worldly duty and vertical duty is a spiritual duty. So it's like this. If this is the worldly duty, this is spiritual duty. So what he has to do? He has to do worldly duty in such a way that he keeps going like this. And then everybody goes back to God. Correct, no? He has to keep on elevating himself like this. And if he is all the time doing only this and this is reducing, and it goes like this, then he'll be like a duck. A duck never goes up. Duck keeps roaming in the ground only, bug, 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 making sound. Isn't it? Whereas a swan flies up. So therefore, we have to do the horizontal duties, and while doing it, we have to elevate the whole family back to Godhead. So that is the formula. It's a very special purport, this, the 14th chapter, yeah. The same thing Prabhupada says in this first purport also, very similar. Similar type of thing. Let's go to the second one. Good Sangha and Bad Sangha. So after saying about how people are chasing after sense gratification, you can also compare this verse with Prahlad Maharaj's teaching. Correct? Now, what is that verse? He says, you know, Tat prayaso na kartavyo yataha ayurveya param na tata vindate kshemam Mukunda Charanam Bhujam. That verse is a very beautiful verse. There also he will say, you know, very, very logically he will tell reason to his friends. Please repeat. Tat prayaso nakartavyo yata ayurveya param na tata vindate kshemam Mukunda Charanam Bhujam. Yeah.
Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit.
People, as Prabhupada says, morning to night people work hard, so time is gone. There is no time for spiritual life. Correct, no? See, in human body you have human energy and time. So these two are very vital things for you. If you have time, like right now we are sitting and studying Bhagavatam, utilizing time in Lord's service. So we need time to read, time to hear, time to understand, time to practice chanting, everything. Therefore Prabhupada talked about Varnashrama. Congregation devotees should go to, Prabhupada wanted them to go to farmhouses. Why? As they grow older. Why? They can get more time. More time for Krishna service. And then another thing is the energy. Like every one of us sitting here, we have some human energy. And after that energy is exhausted, then we get tired, we sleep at night. So that human energy should be utilized for doing arati for the Lord, or distributing books, or speaking Krishna Katha, isn't it? Rendering some form of service, 24 hours, we should have some type of devotional service. So utilize energy and time in Lord's service. Don't waste them in either materialistic advancement or sense gratification. Don't waste it, he says. Yes, because there is no actual profit. Because the money you accumulate, the facilities you accumulate materially in this world, they will all be taken away at the time of death. Remember that, he says. Yeah. And then if one's
endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development.
Yeah, like this he gives the reason, like this. And then please read the very good purport it is.
We see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night, trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefit from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problem of their lives. Nor do they know what the real problem of life is. This is due to a lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in darkness in the bodily conception of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of society, people consider the body to be everything, and they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such a civilization is...
You understand, no? Material comfortable means AC room, in a nice posh car, in a very costly bungalow. People basically want to materially make the body comfortable, but because that makes them feel very nice. But doesn't serve the ultimate goal of life. Yeah.
Such a civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity toward knowing the real goal of life. People are simply wasting time and the valuable gift of the human form, because a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like the cats and dogs is degraded in his next life. From human life, such a person is put into the cycle of continuous birth and death. Thus, one loses the true benefit of human life, which is to become Krishna conscious and solve life's problems.
See, especially the householders have one very great challenge. Because when they raise their children, the children are living in the same society where there are other materialistic people who are also always talking about the society status symbols. One of the status symbols in society is that children should go abroad. And similarly, another society status symbol is you have this type of car and this type of job. So therefore, if the parents are highly Krishna conscious, the child will follow the role model example of the parents, not get swayed by the society's definition of what is success. Society is going to offer its own definition of success. Like sometime brahmacharis come and tell me, Prabhuji, in other temples brahmacharis are using WhatsApp. Why can't we use? Correct, no? I was thinking this social pressure can come even within brahmachari ashram also. And not only for the grihasthas. Isn't it? So it can come even in brahmachari ashram. So we make some policy for the welfare of our brahmacharis, but people compare. So if it can come among brahmacharis, I can easily imagine for grihasthas how much pressure can come. Correct, no? Because the children will go and see and then come back and tell parents, you know, my friend is going abroad, I want to go also. My friend has a girlfriend, so I also want to have her. Isn't it? So whatever the society is doing, other people want to copy it. So therefore, the parents have to be highly Krishna conscious. They have to gain their security and stability from spiritual life. So that they don't get swayed. Just like a boat, if it is anchored to the shore, even if there is a storm, the boat will not get swept away. But if it is not anchored in Krishna's lotus feet, then we will get swept away like the boat, when the wind blows very powerfully, it just gets swept away. People get carried away. Even pious people get carried away nowadays. By the children want to, watch Hollywood, Bollywood movies. They want to watch cricket. Children want to go abroad. And children want to become more and more materialistic. And parents seeing them, they also become materialistic. And the whole society is degrading. So this purport, Prahlad Maharaj is convincing his friends, one should not die like a cat and dog. Cat and dog dying means what? Whole life work hard for sense gratification and death comes and strikes you down, you don't know where are you going. That is an example of this. So therefore, in the second verse he is talking about how one can rise above this type of materialistic lifestyle. He is saying, Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamodvaram joshitam sanghi sangam mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanjavas suhrida sadhavo ye. Translation:
one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas.
Yeah. Last line of that purport saying, on the positive side is association with Mahatmas. On the negative side is avoidance of non-devotees and woman hunters. You saw the last line of the purport. One should avoid non-devotees and woman hunters, and on the positive side, one should associate with Mahatmas. So, in this verse, there are some specific words used. A third line, if you see, Mahantaste Samachitta. Samachitta means jnanis. There is a pandita, samadarshinaha. And Samachitta, when you talk about a devotee who has a sincere heart, he is called as a Samachitta. These are mentioned by Chakravarti Thakur. And Prashanta, jnani Prashanta means he is peaceful. When you say devotee is Prashanta, means fixed in Krishna, he says. That means he is not distracted or disturbed by anything of this world. He is fixed in Krishna's lotus feet. Prashanta, he says. And Vimanyava, he says, they are devoid of anger. And Suhrida, friendly to all. Sadhavo, means they don't see fault in others. So I will request you to repeat this meaning. These are very vital meanings. Vimanyavaha, devoid of anger. Suhridaha, friendly to all. Sadhavo, don't see faults in others. So in this way, these three qualities are explained. Actually, why will one become angry in this world? One of the reasons a saintly person can become angry in this world is seeing the people degraded and living like cats and dogs and not taking to Krishna consciousness. Seeing the world full of people filled with hypocritical behavior, mischievous behavior, cheating behavior. Is it not true? But actually, if a doctor becomes angry with a rebellious patient, this example Prabhupada gives. Imagine, sometimes the doctor wants to give injection to the patient. And the patient loudly yells at the doctor, and sometimes even he can give gali also to the doctor sometimes. Or sometimes with another hand he may slap the doctor also. But a good doctor is one who will catch both his hands and give injection immediately. Because doctor is interested in curing the disease of the patient. Especially there is one doctor in Pune, one psychiatrist doctor. So he was telling many patients yell and shout and sometimes even try to beat the doctor also. So he said, when they do that, we only laugh, he said. Because we know he's a madman. So conditioned soul is also a madman. So when you try to preach to conditioned souls, they are going to behave very madly. Especially because they are in tamaguna, rajoguna. Like you try to mold somebody and bring them to the right path, they will become antagonistic to you only. They will think that you are finding fault in me. That means what kind of superior are you? They are going to get wild on you. So conditioned souls afflicted by three gunas in this world, you will find they will behave like mad people. And even all of us sitting here, we also have our superior. We can misunderstand our superior who is trying to rectify our faults. How many of you agree with this? Correct, no? Yeah. Because we are also not fully free from madness. Correct, no? We are also, trying to rise above the madness arising from three gunas, you see. Therefore, there is one very famous statement in Tamil which says that if you are a great soul, you have to tolerate the mistakes committed by the small souls. Siriyor sayyum siripidai ellam periyor ayan porupadu kadane. It's a duty of the great souls to tolerate the mistakes and blunders committed by small souls, even against the person who is trying to help them. So it's the duty of a doctor to tolerate the yelling and scolding and shouting of the patient, if the doctor is keen to help the patient. Therefore, saintly people should be free from anger, he says. And we may say, no, 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 I cannot tolerate all this. Then you cannot reach out to a lot of people. You will become restricted. Your range of reachability to the people will become restricted. And a person who can restrain anger and tolerate the living entities, mischievous activities, and forgive them, give a pat on the back, and then catch their hand and elevate them. Such people can reach out to a lot of people, because many souls who are looking for forgiveness will come and take their shelter also. This doesn't mean that you say that I am like Lord Nityananda Prabhu, I can forgive any Jagayamadai also. Then you accommodate everybody, then you will fall down. Because they will all catch your feet and drag you down to hell. Because giving shelter to fallen souls will make us also fallen. You may wonder, my Lord, that also I don't want. Sometimes when you hear about not becoming angry, you feel, chalo, now onwards I will not become angry at anyone. Jo kisko kya karna hai karlo, no problem. I will accept you as a devotee. I'll forgive you. Then in case they are under you, and you are giving them shelter and allow them to do all kinds of nonsense, you will get 1/6 of the nonsense share. You will also get, because they will use your name. So and so has permitted me, I am doing. Correct, no? So, therefore, on one hand, you cannot accommodate mischievous activities, nonsense activities. You have to rectify it in them by watching them. How are they moving? What are they doing? Call them, talk to them, correct them. On the other hand, when you observe those activities, we should not lose our cool head and we become wild and angry and we pounce upon them like a tiger. Then what will happen? Then they will get more frightened. Then they will want to go out of your radar range and be independent. So who can reconcile these two things? There is a way to reconcile these two. Anybody want to give a try? You understood, no? Yes, give the mic to him.
Good training. Good training and engagement.
Yes, very good. Actually, before they commit mistake, train them. Because once they are trained, it will be a little difficult for them to commit mistake. Because they will remember, this is what was told in training. So that is one way. Okay? Anybody else? As one more solution. You understood the question, no? On one hand, when you see their mischievous tendencies, wrong directions taking and misbehavior and all, you become angry. If you become angry, they go out of radar range, then you can't help them anymore. That is one problem. On the other hand, if you are extremely forgiving, then they will drag you down to hell along with them. We are going to Narak, we will take you also to Narak. They will hold on to your feet and you cannot run away from them, because you only gave them shelter. Yamakinkaras will first beat them and the next catch you only next. Correct, no? So then how do you reconcile these two? One is the training is saying. Anybody? Yeah, give the mic to him. He has a solution. Yeah?
We should do whatever is needful to take them one step up from whatever they are.
Yes.
And accordingly, whether we require to become angry or we have to be good
people. But you cannot become angry. Vimanyava.
Means, angry means firm and polite.
Achha, firm and polite, yeah. See, you can become angry in such a way that they will not run out of your radar range. That much you can become angry with them. Correct? Actually, what is the meaning of that? That much you have to become embodiment of love. Actually, if somebody has been an embodiment of love, their anger will not be seen as anger. Or their anger will bring discipline in the subordinate. But if he is not an embodiment of love, then that anger will be seen as anger and one will go out of the nice guidance that one might have otherwise obtained. That is the way we can reconcile both. Correct, no? Like Prabhupada says, I was sitting behind, my spiritual master was giving a lecture and there was one gentleman who was talking to me and I was also hearing him and talking to him. Suddenly my spiritual master stopped his lecture and he said, Babu, just because you are giving a donation to me, you think you have purchased me? Huh? Don't talk in the class. If you want to talk, come here, sit and talk here. And everybody got frightened. They became chip-chop. The Prabhupada says, nobody should talk to one another in the class. He said, I learned the lesson. So now, even if our Abhay Babu, Prabhupada, he might have got a, even if he was also a part of the chastisement, he has seen his guru with such eyes, you know, in such exalted position. These kind of chastisements cannot, weaken his love and faith in guru. You understand, huh? So our correction, rectification should be done in a spirit of, as he rightly said, elevating them, rather than proving them wrong. Rather than, it's actually called, what do you call it? Either proving them wrong or trying to belittle them or discourage them or make them lose their spirit and say, you are a hopeless case, you are good for nothing. Then they feel that this person is feeling I am hopeless, maybe I should go to someone else who will make me hopeful. Either they will think. On the other hand, as you rightly said, we have to correct them in such a way that we can elevate them. So why I am speaking this? This theme is coming later on also. In Rishabhadev's teaching also it will come. So vimanyavaha, and surda means we have to be friendly to all. He's saying they have to work for the benefit of everyone. Prabhupada worked for the benefit of all people of the world, not only Indians. And sadhava means they don't see fault in others, he says. This is Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. They are not eager to criticize other living entities. So in this way, these two things are mentioned here. Human body is a junction. Either you can take path to liberation or hellish. So there are two doors. One is a liberation door, which will take you to Vaikuntha inside. Another one is hell door. So if you enter one door, you will go like this. Go back to Goloka, Vaikuntha. Another door you enter, it will go like this. It will lead you to hell. Like that. There are two doors, he says. Matsevam dvara mahur vimuktehe. So he says that if one is as described in the first verse, Brahma Sokyam. Actually, one important line I forgot in the first verse. Shudyet yasmat Brahma Sokyam to Anantam. Is that last line. Shudyet means, one should purify the heart. If you purify the heart, what happens? Brahma Sokyam. Sattvam means mind. Chakravarti Thakur says in another place. Sattvam Shudyet means what? Purify the mind. Sattvam Shudyet yasmat Brahma Sokyam. So once the mind is cleansed, you will experience spiritual bliss. To Anantam means unending bliss. So you will experience. So Prabhupada is quoting that in the second purport. As said in the first verse, Brahma Sokyam, meaning means spiritual or eternal. Both impersonalists and devotees seek eternal blissful life. So one should, if one wants to become perfect, one should avoid materialistic association. Non-devotees and woman hunters, one should avoid. And one should associate with saintly persons. So this is like the solution to the first verse. Somebody says, I am doing kashtan, kamaan, arghate, vidubhujam, you are saying. So what to do? Mahatseva. That's the solution. Actually, what happens with Mahatseva? He says that, our Nanda Baba says this, Mahat vichalanam pumsam, grihinam dina chetasam, nishreyasaya bhagavan, nanyate kalpitat pachit. He's saying, Mahat vichalanam pumsam. The Mahatma Purushas are moving around everywhere. Their only purpose is what? Mahat vichalanam. He's saying, Ishreyasaya Bhagavan. Delivering the souls from the Kashtan Kaman, that type of lifestyle, and liberating them, sending back to. That's the only goal of a Mahat. Grihinam Dina Chetasam. He's saying that I am a Vaishya. Vaishya means, you are always counting money, trying to expand your material life. He's saying that we are dhina chetasam, we are very mean-minded, because we also have, money-making people also have a lot of competition, cutthroat competition. So we are so stupid in our worldly life that we even, you heard that story, Narasimha Purana, some sons were very disturbed with the father. They sent him to Varanasi and Kashi for some yatra, so that he will develop detachment. So the pujari took him to Manikarnika Ghat, in that Varanasi, where they burned the bodies. You know? So when the old father, who was already 75-80 years old, when he saw the dead bodies being burned, he started crying. And the pujari thought that he has developed some realization. And he also wanted to renounce everything. So yeah, then the sons asked him, Papa, what realization you are getting that you are crying? Please tell us. He said, Beta, we have wasted our life doing a textile business. Immediately take me home. We will close down the textile shop and start a wood shop. He said, why? Because, you know, in this world, everybody's body will die. And while burning the body, they will need wood. So this is a perennial business. And father said, now start the wood shop and I'll be a proprietor now. I'll take care. The son thought, my Lord. So why that is said? The tendency for materialism is so deep-rooted, the more a man becomes materialistic, he cannot develop detachment very easily. Unless some mahat comes and cuts his material attachments. So, we all have experience, when you have had certain bad habits, the vasanas go for a very long time. Just like if you had a pot of liquor, you throw away the liquor, wash it with water, dry it with a napkin, then you smell it, and the liquor smell will come. That's called vasana. Vasana means liquor is gone, water is put, you put soap and wash it, and dry it also, still that's called vasana. The smell still is there, it doesn't go away very easily. So this materialism is also like that. The more and more we practice materialistic behaviors, materialism means dhanam janam sundarim. So attraction for these things is very deep-rooted. And the only solution given to that is mahat. A mahat will cut into pieces such material attachments. Prabhupada says the mahatma devotees have to speak ukti, which is actually called as a sharp sword, which creates detachment in our hearts. So by hearing the sermons of Mahatma Purushas, we will cut our material attachments. That is actually Mahat Seva, Varamahur Vimuktes, he is saying. And we have crossed the time, I think, 10 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki.